Welcome to the second edition of the Knots Outlaws podcast. For those of you that are too sharp for your own good, you'll realise that Luke Fletcher is no longer the host of this podcast. It is me, Jake Ball. This is quite possibly the biggest takeover since Zoe Ball took over from Chris Evans on the BBC Radio Breakfast Show. So, without further ado, let's get on with it. In the studio today, we have got top brass. We have got the men at the top of the pile. We have got Peter Moores and Stephen Mullaney. Welcome, guys. How are you doing?
Good, Bolly. Thanks. Good morning.
Good to be here, Jakey.
Good, good. You excited for what's about to come? You know, my new podcast, I'm trying to jazz it up a bit. How are we feeling?
Well, I'm eager in anticipation, Jake,
good
I reckon.
Stuff. Good stuff, good stuff. All right, okay, so over, obviously, we just started back after Christmas and New Year. I find like Christmas and New Year's is a great time to sort of reflect on stuff and reflect on the year that's just gone by, and I'm sure that you two are quite similar, obviously, the position you are as captain and head coach. So just a quick one on sort of reflection of last year and how you thought it went.
Yeah, pretty mixed season, I think. We knew that it was going to be a year of transition with the players and the calibre of players that we lost, change of captain, just a big change of personnel, I think. So I thought we started unbelievably well, obviously winning three out of the first five. After the first five championship games, we were top. We believed that we could go all the way and win it and finish up there with the likes of Surrey and then we finished up there. And obviously the last 6 weeks were really tough. We got to two quarterfinals in the white ball stuff. I pretty much thought we got what we deserved. Two quarterfinals, which is probably where we was at as a team and staying in the division, which I thought we deserved to.
Yeah, no, I'd agree with that. I totally agree with that. I mean, I think we got... It gave us some really good things to work on this winter, which is where, you know, it reminded me, when you're right, you have a break, you always think back. But the two quarterfinals we lost them both in some ways because we had a tough toss here, I think, at Trent Bridge against Kent. But physically as well, we felt like we were a little bit behind the eight ball against Kent and Somerset. They'd run a bit better between the wickets. They fielded a bit better than we did. We've got a real power game. We've got some unbelievable batters. And death bowlers, but we felt, I think, looking at this winter, that was an area we could get better. So that's affected how we've gone about it. But, I mean, our side at the start of the year was much more experienced. You know, Jake, you were in that side, you know, and then we picked up some injuries, we lost people to international cricket, and that's been a mirrored, probably in both seasons, actually, a bit of a lack of depth. I think what's happened this winter, we've managed to sign some players, we've moved some players on as well, which is exciting for them, but it's a new staff. So I think you look at it now, and it's a really exciting time with the season coming up.
Yeah, oh, like you just mentioned there, Moores, we've got obviously made some big signings over the winter. We've got Joe Clark, Ben Duckett, Ben Slater. We've got Chappie coming in. So it's a really exciting time for us, but also I think it's a really exciting time for them as well. Obviously, spending a bit of time with them at the start of this winter, getting their excitement for playing here. I mean, we're sat looking over the ground now, and I think sometimes we can take it for granted that this is our home. But you know, for these guys sort of coming into our dressing room, into our environment, and how exciting it is for them. How do you feel that those guys have settled in so far?
Yeah, I think they've done really well. I mean, they've had various amount of times with us. We got Ben Duckett, who played the end of last season, so he's sort of like and Slater. They've had a bit of a head start, but through the winter programme, people like Zach Chappell have come in, and I think it has felt a bit different for him. You know, Leicester, great club, but coming here to Notts, it's a bigger club, it's a test match ground, different players around him, but all have settled in fantastically well. They've got completely stuck in, and we've got four of those lads now are away on a Lions trip, which is great for them. So I think the real test for us as a team will be, we're going to be a new team. I think that's got to be accepted by everybody on the staff, but also it's the members. We're going to start under Steve in that first championship game in a side that isn't quite as easy to put on paper as it has been in the past. And that's an exciting thing. So everybody's very competitive at the moment in a good way. And that's an exciting thing, really, for people to sort of vibe. We know there'll be certain names on that team sheet that are experienced, solid performers, but there's going to be three or four slots up for grabs, I think, which is going to be very exciting.
Yeah, Mo, how do you sort of, obviously the start of next season, you could potentially have four new players in your team. How would you go about sort of integrating them into the team, integrating them into your plans? Obviously, last year, obviously you didn't have these players, and now you have them. Like, how do you go about sort of looking at sort of getting them in and getting them involved and things like that?
That's a good question. What we've not mentioned, I think Paul Coughlin obviously coming back is more or less a new signing because he played a couple of 2020s, but you know, we had our first net the other day and he looked a million, didn't he, in you know, his rhythm in bowling. I think my style of leadership or integrating people would be, you know, to get to know them first and foremost, which I've tried to do. You know, I've played a little bit with Clarkey in the North-South, kept in touch with him, so we've been quite good mates. Obviously, Ducky and Slater, as Mosey said, played a bit last year, so they kind of know how I go about it, and I know how they go about it. And Chappie, I played the North South with as well, so it's not brand new. But I think my style or way is to get to know them as, you know, individuals off the field and see what makes them tick, and hopefully I can get the best out of them.
Sounds good, Mill. Worked for me, so all good. Right, looking forward, we've started back now after Christmas break. Everyone's had the mince pies, had the turkey, had the fill of everything that they possibly can get their hands on. And we're back in getting ready for pre-season and then the start of the season. I find this as a very important time of the year for any cricketer. You've set your foundations before Christmas, and now you're tinkering and you're making sure that your game's right on top of on point for the pre-season and start of the season. So, Morsey, how are the lads shaping up, and sort of what is the plan from now until that first game?
Well, basically, I mean, the way we run our winter pre-Christmas, it's an individual programme in a team sort of setting. So everybody does their own thing. And we identify the areas with the players that they think they can add something to performance. So it could be a yorker for one-day cricket. It could be being better to get past a swinging ball on off stump. So that the lads have been doing that and also physically working, and now it starts to change a little bit. You still do your individual stuff, but we've now start to work a bit more as a squad. Fielding becomes a bit more of a thing that comes on stream. And generally you're right, Jake, you get to the point from where if you were tinkering with anything, now it's really about grooving it to get it so it's ready, and your game plans and your how you're ready to go and play and compete is ready. You know, what we don't want is... We want technically good players, but we want games players. People who go out and sense the game, play the game. You know, when we play that first championship game, it'll be a tough game. You know, in April, the ball will move around. Batters are going to have to play late. Bowlers will have to be on the top of off stump. So as we go through the next sort of 7 weeks towards, I think, a bowling camp beginning of March, everybody starts to get themselves into that. And, you know, 7-8 weeks, it sounds like a reasonable amount of time. But actually, if you're going to do it right, you know, you've got to use all that time, because the start of season in England's are huge. And the season's changed around a little bit this year. Two championships at the start and straight into this 50-over comp. So players have got to have got their ducks in a row. Jake, you're part of it, you know, here. You know, my style is always the same. You know, it's the player's responsibility. We give them opportunities to get better. The player's job really is to get themselves ready, so when the business end of it comes, beginning of April, we're ready to go.
Nice work, Morsey. Mule?
Yeah, I think it's going to come around really quick. I think sometimes you can get caught out by thinking, oh, it's still a long time away. It's not really, because if we had the same period as what we had before Christmas, which was a 5-week block, we've got a week off at half term. And then we've got one more week to top up, which some players are here, some players aren't, and then we're going. So I think it's really close, and I think hopefully everyone's got that in their mind, because once we go on that bowling camp and then the rest of the squad meet up with us around the 12th of March, we get back on the 24th. You know, we're playing out here on the 26th. It'd be a bit colder than South Africa, but, you know, and then we've got sort of 3 or 4 days, bit of media and stuff, 3 days of warm-up cricket, and then... you know, we go to Cambridge and play a first-class game 2 days later on the 31st of March. So, yeah, I'm really excited, and I think it's going to come around really quick, which I can't wait because it's freezing.
It does come around. I do find it that this time of year it flies by, and it does come a lot quicker than you think. And, you know, if you're not switched on and you haven't done all your work prior to Christmas, I think it can sometimes catch up with you in this period of time. But, you know, I think this time of year as well, I mean, certainly... in previous years we've seen a lot of people going away, and you know, I've been away quite a bit, and coming into the back into the squad late and stuff like that. We've got players going away. We've got Samet going away to PSL. Harry, Tom. Harry and DC are currently out in the Big Bash at the minute. Do you see that as quite an important thing for our players to do, Morsy? Do you think it's something that it develops them? Is it something that's good for Notts?
I think it's healthy. I mean, it'll split opinion. Members will listen to this and think, well, we'd just like to protect our players and keep them where they are. I always say to anybody, imagine it's your son. And he has an opportunity to go and play somewhere else in the world and improve himself. So that's the way we view it here. Experiences you get in different tournaments, you come back hopefully a better player. You know, all our players, they're professional players. You know, they play for a living. We have to balance that out. So for myself and Mick Newell, we sit and talk to all the players to balance, to make sure that they do not too much. There's a balance to how many tournaments we'll let them play in. But I think it's a fantastic chance. You know, at the moment, we've got so four lads out with the Lions. We've had people in the T10. Harry Gurney playing at the moment for the Renegades. You mentioned the PSL. They're fantastic things. You know, suddenly you might be playing with a top-flight Australian or somebody from India. So Matt Carter, for instance, you know, what he might get from somebody else if he gets in one of those tournaments, he'll bring back to us. And we've seen that with Dan. I mean, Dan Christian, who's played franchise all around the world, comes to us and he brings knowledge. He brings stuff, and that's helped us do well in T20. So I think it's a good thing. We have to protect our players. So that's partly where I think the way the system is now, it's really important that players become independent. Because when you go to these tournaments, you haven't got a bank of people always there. So to be protected as a player, I think, is really part of our responsibility. But I think it's very exciting.
Well, as a player, obviously, and captain of this team, if you got the opportunity, say, to go to something like the PSL, which is right in our pre-season block, you'd miss quite a big chunk of the pre-season. Is that something that you'd be willing to do or interested in doing?
Under pressure, you know.
Yeah,
good question.
It's up to Morsy, I think. I've not played in a tournament around the world, so I'd love to go and experience it. As Morsy said, I think it's, and some people listening will have, think it's a detriment of the team, but also I think the benefits you can get, as Morsy said, with Dan coming back, Harry coming back from the Big Bash, I'm so sure he'll have more, and he's going to the IPL, so I'm sure he'll, you know, he's playing against the best players in the world, which can't make you any worse. But yeah, I'd love to do it, but obviously with a balance of leading Notts and making sure that it's not at the detriment of Notts in any format.
Good answer, Mill. Well done. Morsy, you mentioned lads going away with the Lions and stuff. As a lot of us have seen, obviously England are out in the West Indies at the minute preparing for their Test series. I think we're just going to chuck it a bit out there and play a bit of selector. And we're going to try and pick our starting 11. Let's open it up to the floor. Like, where do you see this England Test team compared to, say, the I think the ODIs is a fairly settled unit. Obviously, there's been a bit of in and out in the Test team in recent years. How do you see this team sort of moving forward? How do you see it settling down for the Ashes? I think that's ultimately what they're preparing for in next summer.
I mean, I don't know. They're coming off the back of a great series against Sri Lanka, aren't they? So I don't think they'll be looking to change anything, really. I think they'll be looking to go very much with a similar side. West Indies have become a place where it turns more than pace is dominated. You know, Jake, you played there. So I don't think they'll be looking for many changes at the moment. You know, it'd be interesting. Can we name the last Test match side? Would be a good one. I mean, obviously, Folks was one of the big stories for that coming in. That. I'm not sure I could name it off the top of my head. Back
Mullwood. Mull's a badger. Mull's
a badger. But I really think that, you know, playing the extra spinner, Folks coming in, Bairstow playing at the top of the order was, I think, Bairstow's a super player. So I think, you know, I think that's quite an exciting prospect. I do. So, you know, people like Butler have done so well. So I think it's quite exciting for England's Test match at the moment.
Mill?
Yeah, I'd probably do another side.
Come on. Yeah. Give us a side.
Proper badger.
I think the top four's, you know, they had a warm-up game yesterday, didn't they? A two-day game that's carrying on today. So the top three or four, so Jennings and Burns, I think, deserve a chance. Johnny obviously went in at three and got 100, and then captain at four, who's obviously a world-class player. Will they still play three spinners? And, you know, Brody played the last test. Obviously, Anderson missed out, but will obviously play if fit. So will he go with two frontline heavies or not? I'm not sure. I don't think it's a country that you'd normally open the bowling with spinners. It was Sri Lanka.
No, I think they'll play the extra seam. I mean, Stewart would be disappointed if he didn't get in and play, I think. And I think he's, you know, he proves time and time again, Brody, that what a good performer he is. I mean, all bowlers bring different things to it. If Jimmy's a sort of craftsman bowler, what Brody is, he's a tactician. He finds a way, you know. He sets different fields. He does things in a different approach. But he gets wickets. He senses moments, Brody. And that's why he's so valuable, I think, in a Test match team. Suddenly, the game seems to be going nowhere and Brody has one of them spells, you know, where he comes steaming in and he finds and he opens a game up. So that, I think that won't be lost on Rooty. The fact that to have that sort of player on your side is a little bit different, and his experience will be invaluable. And I think they know that both him and Jimmy have huge roles to play when it comes to the Ashes back here in the summer.
Yeah, I think one thing as well with Brody, we've seen behind closed doors how hard he's worked through the winter. Obviously, not playing, he played one test in Sri Lanka, but you know he comes in here and he's working on this new short run up and his new action and stuff like that. So he's really hungry to you know, he wants to play another test at Trent Bridge where there isn't one this year. So his longevity for England in his mind is quite a long period of time. So, you know, he wants to nail it in the West Indies, get ready. Hopefully we'll see quite a lot of him because the Ashes isn't till later with the World Cup being on. And hopefully he can put some performances in for us and give himself the best chance of performing in that Ashes series later in the summer.
Yeah, I think Brody is a great lesson for anybody, not just starting their career, but sort of, I wouldn't say coming to the end of their career, because I don't think Stu is, but I think the fact that he's constantly developing, he's constantly looking at ways to try and improve his game, after everything that he's achieved in the game, to still have that drive and desire to keep wanting to get better and better, I think it's a great lesson for anybody in the game, anybody that's just starting out in the game, or somebody like who's coming towards sort of like their end of the career, it might even be in a comfortable position. I think it's a great lesson. And him and Jimmy together in that England side play such a big role in the development of the team, because you see these players constantly work. And Cookie was the same. I couldn't believe how hard Cookie worked on his game. I remember being out in the Ashes last year, and he was going through a torrid time. He couldn't buy a run, but he was working. He was working so hard in the nets, working so hard, and he got his 100 at Melbourne. And when he came off the field, I've never seen anybody like that. After he was sat in his seat, he had his towel over his head, and you could see he was almost sobbing, because you could see how much he'd worked for that innings. And it was great to see. And if I could take a picture, I'd have taken a picture of that, because if I could show that to any young batter, say, look, this is how hard you have to want it, how hard you have to work for these gains. And, you know, I could not speak any more highly of these players that are in, Cookie that now isn't, but Jimmy and Brody that bringing on this test team now. You know, they set a real high example of how you should go about your cricket.
Sort of a common, it's sort of the thing that goes with all those top players, isn't it? They just want to keep getting better through whatever, a mixture, I think, of knowing you've got to survive it, because they've been around it long enough, and they just want to be the best. And that, I think, it goes with, it might be a Dan Carter in rugby or a Messi in football, it doesn't matter, that they're forever looking at different ways of doing it. And Jimmy Brody are them, but you're right, Cookie, I've been seeing Cookie as well, like you, the work rate he puts in is why he's been so successful. And it frustrates when people don't always see that, and they just think that, you know, it just comes. It doesn't for sportsmen, does it? They've got to work like everybody else.
Yeah, you have to work pretty hard, and I think that's, like I say, not a lot of people sort of see how hard a lot of these players actually work and how much they put on behind the scenes. I think we sometimes get a little bit about our winters, you know, you don't do anything in the winter, but actually, you know, the people don't see a lot of the work that goes in. We put quite a lot of work into what a season is and how you have to get through a season. Right. Right, this is gonna be my new thing. So I'm gonna try and jazz up the podcast a little bit. Okay. So I'm gonna have a little game. I'm gonna give you four stats on one of our players, and you're gonna have to tell me which of our players.
Is it a competition or just
it's a competition. Yeah. I have played 50 first-class matches. My first-class average with the bat is 29.81. They're your first two.
First-class matches.
This is the same person, as in...
And he's one of our players.
He's one of our players.
50 first-class games. Good question.
My T20 average is 35.50.
I've only played
11 matches.
Got it.
Jake Libby.
Yes.
I have to make this harder, aren't I?
Damn.
50 first class matches got me a little bit. Actually.
Didn't you mention it in the huddle last year? So you should have got that. You gave him a round of applause.
Yeah, I got it.
How well did Jake play last year, by the way? T20. Unbelievable, wasn't it?
Yeah. I mean, there's another message in that, isn't there? You know, we talked about the work, but what he did, he freed himself up to play, didn't he? I mean, but he played as well as any number three in the country, didn't he, really? He played superbly.
Yeah, and again, I think it's another lesson. I think most of us, well, I personally, I sort of pigeonholed him as a bit of a Red Bull specialist, but yeah. I think it shows the development of the game and how far it's come that, you know, Jake's just come in and played. I don't think he played like a normal T20 player would. He came in and played proper cricket shots and he hit the boundary. I think at Trent Bridge, you get your value for your runs in T20 cricket. I know that as a bowler.
He did it away from home. Did it against different attacks, didn't he? He picked his spots. Yorkshire played really well, yeah. And because he does other things, you know, he's quick between the wickets. And as I say, I think for him or for any of us, we all want to play really expressive, great cricket. But it isn't that easy when you're trying so hard. But for everybody, when we can sort of, I say, free up a bit and trust ourselves, we play better. And that's what he did in that tournament. He came in, a bit of a left field, I think. You know, give Dan Christian some credit there as well. In he went, and he played brilliantly. Played really well.
Well done, Jake.
Challenge us or not?
I'm going to have to develop that a bit.
Is that
more,
it? Just one?
It was, yeah. Well,
I thought there was three or four.
It's a work in progress, Mill. It's my first podcast. I'm getting out. And I'm gonna finish. I'm gonna try and finish this with everybody this year. I'm gonna give you a little scenario. We call him Joe Bloggs. We always call him Joe Bloggs, don't we? He's 13 to 15 years old. He's sort of ticking along. He's in the county setup. He's doing all right. He's just your steady player. What little nugget of advice, what little thing could Peter Moores, head coach, Stephen Mullaney, club captain, what would your little bit of advice be to this player to say, look, no, this is like, I don't know what I'm trying to say here, but you know, it's a bit of advice to maybe a listener that's wanting to develop their game or just a little something to sort of push them on to the next level.
You've had some good questions, you know.
Cheers, mate.
Very good. A bit better than Fletcher, I think.
Cheers, mate.
I think, well, what I wish I knew what I knew now 10 years ago.
Most of us do, Mill.
Yeah. But I think that's the amazing thing, though. Like players like Clark here who are 22, 23, Tom, who's 22. You know, they're getting to know the games really early, really early. And that's something that I didn't do until I was probably late 20s. My advice would be to try and learn, you know, as quickly as you can, the basics that stand you in good stead for all three formats, because the basics of the game don't change. If you look at, you know, some of the best players in the world, so your Virat Kohli, Joe Root, Kane Williamson, Steve Smith, they pretty much have the same technique for all three formats. They just ramp it up and score at a quicker rate. That's all they do. Yeah, they have the odd ramp and stuff like that, but you know, when they start their innings, their basics are very, very similar, and they just play proper cricket shots and still strike at, you know, 140 in T20, 100 in 50 over, and then obviously the game's about the longer period of time in the five-day stuff. So that would be my advice.
Mosey, just a quick one on you. Obviously, you've had Tom, that's obviously your son. He's come into the. He's obviously done really well. He's out in the Lions now. What did you say to him growing up? Did you give him a lot of advice, or did you let him sort of just get on with it? Did you let him find his own feet and let him find his own technique?
Certainly, let him find his own technique. I mean, things like Tom wanting to bat, love batting. So I'd say the same thing to him: hit it hard on the ground. But I always encourage him to hit it hard because hitting hard on the ground because two-thirds of people are out court. So to me, it seemed to make sense to people, whack it hard on the ground. If you want to whack it hard, you've got to be in technically good positions. So you've got to find your way. So I do most of the work I do with Tom, and Tom loved it. So I was very conscious to never do with Tom what I would call overly technical sessions. But you have to help, you know, Muller understand the game. To understand the game, you've got to do quite a lot of it. And I think I'd say that to anybody. If you love doing it, you love batting or bowling, then there's no get-rich-quick book here. You've got to do quite a lot to get better. The danger is, sometimes now with coaches, we think that if we chuck in two bits of technical info, we'll soon become a good player. You've got to do it again and again. And you get better through the volume of doing it, really. But for Tom loved hitting a cricket ball or catching a ball. So he did loads of it. And with that, he got better. And my job was to be enthusiastic for him. If he wanted something to throw at him, I'd throw at him. I wouldn't tell him anything. I'd just throw it. And I reckon a lot of his stuff he got, throwing a tennis ball on the grass at the back, it's all over the show, whacking it there like we all did into people's back gardens. That's what pretty much happened. And then at certain times, he would then, as he got older, he'd occasionally come to me and said, you know, Dad, I can't do this. What about this? And then I would give him something. But if he didn't ask me, then I wouldn't.
The only problem is your back garden was next door, about 400 yards.
Well, he used to hit it into the pub. It was perfect. I could go and get it.
Moz, he was an hour fetching that ball. Now, cheers, lads. Honestly, thanks for coming in and being involved in my first podcast. Hope you've enjoyed it and look forward to the next one. Cheers,
mate. Well done, mate. Excellent.
Excellent.